Well, good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Jesus. This is a live prophecy reality edition. The world is still going crazy, and it's on its way to destruction. The three frog-like spirits of Revelation have been going throughout the earth. They've been doing their job for several hundred years now, I believe, since the sixth vial was poured out, because the scripture absolutely tells us that these three frog-like spirits have gone out into the earth to prepare them for the great day of God Almighty. And that is the day that Christ returns, and he takes on the governments of this world. Yes, they are going to attempt to fight him when he comes. The queen is dead. That's not helpful for anything, is it? We have the depopulation king. Wasn't it Charles that said that when he died, he wanted to be reincarnated as a virus that would wipe out most of the human race? So the depopulation king has finally arisen. I mean, the stage that's being set upon the world right now seems so appropriate for the times that we live in. It's like everything that happens just makes it more clear that we are getting nearer to the return of Christ and the end of the present age we are in. Hallelujah. That's what I could say about that. The end of the present age that we're in. Certainly we've had some good times here. People have lived the American dream, and now the dream is turning into a nightmare. We have a man who wasn't even elected. Call him the pretender in chief on the throne. Am I an election denier? Yes, I've been an election denier for the last 20 years. Definitely am. And it's just got worse and worse to where it's become blatant and undeniable. Yet, if you speak it, you're now an insurrectionist and a terrorist. That's how wonderful things have become in our new dystopia. Yes, it's not an apocalyptic dystopia. It's a pre-apocalyptic dystopia. Well, not really, because the apocalypse is not something that happens in the future. It's something that has been happening when we're speaking of the Revelation and what's written therein. It's been happening for 1800, 1900 years, ever since the book was written, about 95 AD. Oh, and good news, that I finally got my review copy of The Millennium Question, okay? And so it's available on Amazon and Lulu. So you can go to Lulu Press there, lulu.com, and type in The Millennium Question, and the cover will look like this. The background in there just looks kind of like black, but if you look real closely, you see that it's Greek, and it's a copy of the, what is that stone called? I forget. Yeah, I must be having a teenage moment. It'll come to me. But anyway, it's Greek. It's not Hebrew, it's Greek, because the Revelation is definitely referring to Greek, especially when it refers to the number. And Jesus says, I am the Alpha and the Omega. He didn't say I'm the beginning and the end of the Hebrew alphabet. So it was the Revelation was, as with all of the church, the New Testament is primarily, yes, Rosetta Stone. Thank you. Thank you for that, Fireman Mike. The Rosetta Stone. Yeah. Anyway, that's what that close up is of in the background. That Greek is the Rosetta Stone. But anyway, and I have these three books finished. And all three of them together, let's see, I was trying to get a special deal on Amazon to buy all of three of these books together, and I thought I found out how to do that. And And here it is. It's called The Revelation Enigma Decoded, three books. The three books together, that's what I've labeled them as, a series. And that includes first The Beast Apocalyptic. And that's the order I would read them in, is The Beast Apocalyptic, then an exposition of the Revelation, and then finally The Millennium Question, because that's the very last thing as far as having to do with prophecy and the planet Earth, you know, the world that we live in. So the three of them. But I found no place, and I thought I could sell these as a package together, but they're not, Amazon's not helping me out on that. So I'm thinking about actually binding them together in one book, all three together in one book, and selling them as The Revelation Enigma Decoded, all three books. So you'll have to stick around if you want to buy all three books. I can probably get that done in a couple weeks and put it out on Lulu, just for the listeners of this broadcast. Because it'll be a little more than 400 pages, all three books together. So it's a hefty volume. It will be a hefty volume, but it will be everything you need to understand the Revelation and diving in deep into the symbols, first of all, so you understand what you're reading when you read the Revelation. Because once you read the, you know, going through that, it really clarified it for me. So many people had questions, and I kept hearing people say things that are not right. The Antichrist is the beast, or the second beast of Revelation is the false prophet, things like this. I'm going, the scripture doesn't support that. That's not right. So I finally had to write The Beast Apocalyptic. And I would like to hear some criticism on it. I would like to someone to read that book and say, you're wrong, and here's where you're wrong, and show me in the scripture where I'm wrong, because I know they can't do it. And I'm not just saying that because it's me writing it. It's because all I'm looking for is to get my interpretation from the scripture alone. No hyperbole, no future speculation. Yeah, don't want none of it. You know, I can only speculate on the future insofar as the Revelation gives me information. So, and that's what I do in the Millennium Question. I could have speculated, but I decided just to open up what the scripture actually reveals about the Revelation and maybe just kind of stick my toe out into the future a little bit, but not very much. Not like all of these other authors that just start making stuff up and total speculation, because that's not what it's about for me. So the Millennium Question is now available. It is finished. It's in a hardback, paperback, Audible, and Kindle. It's in all of those versions are all done on Amazon. And you can also buy the paperback on Lulu. That's available there if you want an alternative to buying from Amazon. You can go to lulu.com and buy it there. Okay, the future. Anyway, so I guess if more people say, yeah, I'd like to get the three in one volume, maybe that'll goad me to get it done. And because I was hoping that I could work out some special deal to buy like all three of these books at once for less than $30 or something on Amazon. But I guess I'll have to send them a query, because there's no way it seems that you can put them together as a bundle and a series, but you can't say, get all three for this special price. That's what I was hoping for. And you go, what's the point of bundling them together if you can't get a special price on them for your listeners? But hey, it's all there. And all of you that I played the Audible for 2 weeks in a row on the Millennium Question, so I hope everybody got it downloaded then. Otherwise, you're just going to have to wait, and I'm likely going to replay it again sometime in the next couple months. So you can stick around if you don't want to actually buy it. buy the book or buy the Audible, but you can do that. You can just wait, and I promise I will replay it again sometime in the next couple months. But I must get back to my regular business of line by line going through the Bible. I think I left off in the middle of Isaiah when the summer began, so I got to get back to that. And then I'll get back to that, and I'll take a break and replay the Millennium Question again. So I hope you all are listening to my regular broadcast throughout the week, the regular go through the Bible study that I do there, and plus a lot of times I play these series, these Audible series, which I'm doing The Beast Apocalyptic right now. It's being finished up this week for the second week in a row. So I like to do it 2 weeks in a row because it's a lot, and most people don't mind hearing it over again, because who can grasp the whole book of Revelation or the Beast Apocalyptic or the Millennium Question in one hearing? So if you bought the Audible, you'd probably want to listen to it several times. I know right now, again, in my free time, I'm rereading the Horae Apocalypticae. I just started it. Yeah. And it is quite inspiring to read it again for the, third, fourth, or fifth time since I republished in 2018 the Reformation Quincentennial edition of that volume, which is also available at Lulu Press. But just go there to Lulu Press and you can type in Horae Apocalypticae and you'll see the Reformation Quincentennial edition. But you can also listen to that free, because someone accused me, someone slandered me on another broadcast here last week and said that First Amendment Radio, Nicholas Arthur, are just all about money. All about money. But you don't have to buy anything. I give it all away free. All of the programs are free to listen to here on First Amendment Radio. And you can get the Horae Apocalypticae, the Quincentennial Edition, free on the internet. You can read it all for free there at horaeapocalypticae.wordpress.com. Entirely published, except for some of the appendices are not published, but entirely published there, the entire Horae Apocalypticae Reformation Quincentennial Edition. Free. So, because God has told me to freely give everything. So all of the series that Tom Fress did, for example, are free to listen to. You can go to inquisitionupdate.org, and that'll take you to a page that has all the series listed there that have been published on the internet and are still available there. And at this time, though I published them all on YouTube already, okay, I'm now publishing them on Odyssey, Rumble, and BitChute. So the series that I'm playing now on the air daily, my daughter is uploading daily as they're played out. So the entire series, as we play them all over again for the next decade, will be again uploaded to other venues, because they will likely be taken off of YouTube first. But I hear that even YouTube is now allowing people to say derogatory things about the vaccine. I don't know. That's why they kicked me off of YouTube. Because I'm an election denier, but though I've been an election denier for 20 years, it just became illegal on YouTube with the announcement of the, you know, Democratic Party and their Marxist takeover of everything that's not nailed down concretely. Yeah, we got to get out our hammers and nails and start nailing things down and not allowing these communists, these Marxists to overthrow the society in which we live, as they have done in other places. But now let's get to some news. Good to see you in the chat room there, Fireman Mike, Dale, Corporate, you, and me. Yes, and everyone else listening, however you're listening. Eric says hi, everyone. good to see you here. Okay, news. Let's see. Let's click on another tab here that maybe has some news in it. Oh, yes. Here's a sad face. Lindsey Graham, quote, "We're going to create a system more like Europe." Sorry, Lindsey. Can we make this guy go away, people? All you voters out there, or wherever he's from. Oh, yeah, he is South Carolina, Republican South Carolina. Both of his bipartisan efforts, alongside senators like Elizabeth Warren, to build a new regulatory licensure apparatus for social media. Yeah. Yeah, that's going to happen, right? I don't think so. We need to say goodbye. Lindsey Graham needs to go away, and we need someone who is going to put America first. I'm going to go America first. I make America great again. Whatever was great in America, that's what we want to bring back. Great in what was great in America in the eyes of God. That's what truly would make America great. So those are the things that we want again. Has nothing to do with Trump. Okay, so you have to vote for every individual. And speaking of Trump, Trump 2020 versus Trump 2024. The differences to expect. This is from Thomas Buckley over at American Thinker. If Donald Trump does run for re-ish election in 2024, some of the obstacles will be the same as in 2020. Some will be different. That's brilliant. Some will depend upon the ever-shifting vagaries of the political landscape, and some will depend wholly upon Trump doing what he does best while avoiding what he does worse. So let's think about that. What he did best. Well, he did deregulate a lot. He did institute tariffs in an effort to lower taxes. He did attempt to bring industry back home. He did appoint a lot of conservative and more Bible-leaning judges to many of the open posts. And he appointed more judges than, I believe, the three presidents before him, because they had all left their work undone. So he took advantage of that. So that will be helpful. So we're talking about what he does best. And he was more friendly to Christians, okay? Which Joe Biden is not. He is the enemy of law and order. He didn't persecute Christians and Americans as they are doing with the January 6th, trying to label them insurrectionists when all they were Americans protesting, as is their right. Continuing here. To start with, there will be the legal issues, despite the utter absurdity of the challenge. The horde of Democratic lawyers will challenge Trump's ability to serve based on his participation in an insurrection. One of the reasons that term will be used, literally and figuratively, ad nauseum in the January 6th committee report, will be to lend a water-thin layer of credence to the claim. And that's about all it is. I am hoping that there will be enough pushback and enough eyes open to change things in the elections out there. I don't have any hope for California. I'm sorry. It's going to take a few more years to overthrow the West Coast dynasty out here that is running the West Coast of the United States of America. But there is more hope for local races in all of the, in many of the other states. Georgia was a washout. Georgia, when they changed the Senate that decided the Senate last round, was a total fraud because they did not fix anything before they did their runoff elections. And they used the same system that they used to cheat to put Biden in office that they used to take the Senate and get that even, well, majority because of the so-called vice president pretender over there that gives them 51 votes to the Republican 50. But you have so many turncoats like in the Republican Party. Those are the ones that all the voters out there need to get rid of. So I'm hopeful that we can see some pushback coming on the horizon. Okay, well, here comes our first break. You're listening to Cross the Border. This is a live prophecy, reality, worldview, weekly edition of the news. We'll be back in a few minutes. Don't go anywhere.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Hi, I'm Nicholas Arthur, and I'd like to introduce you to my latest book, Reformed Prophecy Interpretation, an apology for Reformed premillennial historicism in the 21st century. As with primitive biblical Christianity, historicism is the method of prophecy interpretation restored with the advent of the Protestant Reformation, and had become so widely held that for a long time it was called the Protestant view. My book is not so much about the errors of dispensationalism or amillennialism. Rather, it is about the historicist alternative to understanding many of the same passages from the vantage point of prophecy fulfilled in history. For those that desire more than mere hypotheses, bolstered with conjectured speculation, those who require explicit biblical exegesis and verified historical fulfillment, and are not willing to accept speculation as anything other than what it is. Speculation, not truth. This book is for you. Over the last century, this method of interpretation has become almost completely forgotten, even by Protestants, in the face of a method that is based almost entirely on future speculation, rather than fulfilled prophecy in history. In my book, I examine the reasons for this and investigate some of the prophecy which has been fulfilled in the interim, as well as present an apology for Reformed premillennial historicism to the 21st century. If you're interested in a copy of my book, you can go to my website, crosstheborder.org, and get more information there. Or you may also find it at Amazon. Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. This is a live prophecy reality edition. And when we left, we were talking about Trump 2020 versus Trump 2024. I believe that if he runs again, that he will likely be the president again. A lot can change in 2 years. And it's unlikely Trump got any batch of the kill shot if he took the vaccine because he isn't dead yet and he's not exhibiting any indication that he's been affected or negatively, as many people have, with side effects to the vaccine, so-called vaccine jab kill shot that people have been getting. And got to keep our eye on the death statistics over the next couple of years also, because it's starting to be quite horrendous, the depopulation agenda. Speaking of the depopulation agenda, yeah, we have here, let's see, Bill Gates, no, I think that was, oh yeah, the depopulation agenda. We were speaking of King Charles, the king of depopulation. It's funny now that the world has a king that is known for wanting to depopulate the world while it goes on. Yes, just as it's really taking root. So we will see what happens over the next 2 years. If Trump is not able to run for some reason, I hope a better candidate steps up. But as we were speaking about Trump doing what he does best while avoiding what he does worst. And the worst thing he did was surrounding himself by swamp monsters and taking their advice. Some things should have never happened, because Trump, after all, was a liberal Democrat before he became a Republican president. So what would he know about preserving the liberties? Hopefully he's learned something, especially if he's going to be the president again. And they're going to do everything they can to stop him. How about Ron DeSantis instead? I don't know. I think the Floridians want to keep Ron DeSantis. Do they really want to give him, for the dogs of, for the Antichrist dogs of Washington, D.C. to tear to pieces? Because they'll likely do the same thing to Ron DeSantis as they did to Donald Trump. But will they be as ravenous? I think the Antichrist will sick his dogs on whoever is standing in the way of his agenda. Let's see. Oh, yes, yeah, speaking of the death jab, peer review study, 94% of vaccinated patients with subsequent health issues have abnormal blood. You got to take the shot. Take the guns first, then do process, Trump quote. Yeah, we know. That's one of the things that he did wrong. Like I said, he was a liberal Democrat before he became a Republican president. And I think the only thing that made him Republican was wanting to keep America great. Bring back some vestige of what he saw as America's greatness in the past. That's not in vogue with the new Marxist Democrats. So he's not a Marxist Democrat, but he is a socialist liberal Democrat of the old school. Corporate in the chat room says, I read that Charles III is a real champion for climate change. Yeah, I didn't even think I needed to go there because yes, he is. He's totally bought in, sold out. That's why he's the king of the world right now. A lot of people have posited or speculated back beginning in the 90s when we were doing Patriot Radio on the ground over here and the internet was new and we were, Truth Radio where I was, Truth Radio Network where I was one of the first alternate network streaming on the internet back in 1995. Yeah. I think someone even wrote a book about Prince Charles being the Antichrist then. So the speculation started then. Now I think, it's like, It's just happening in due time. And the Fury and the books and all the stuff is start going to be rolling out now that Charles the Third, King Charles, is the Antichrist. And he is the Antichrist. You know, he may be the pseudo Antichrist. You know, the one that's put up. Could Charles even find religion and push the Abraham Accord and the temple building on the Temple Mount? If he does that, then you'll know he's been elected. But it's the timing is just canny. Yeah, the timing is just fantastic. So, and 2023 is the year that they need to have this treaty going to have it, the 7 years play out by 2030. I might even be a prophet if that happens, because that's been, I speculate, and I tell you I'm speculating, because I don't believe that my speculation is the truth, you know, unlike the futurists and the dispensationalists. Their speculation is the truth. It must be accepted. If you don't accept it, you could even be kicked out of some churches. If you don't accept the pre-tribulation rapture and the 7-year tribulation deception, yeah, you can be kicked out of a church. But I speculate out of necessity, if 2030 is their date, that they need to have the entire rapture played out by 2030 so that it can fail. Because it was devised to fail. Why would the Antichrist make a prophecy for Protestants, one that they don't even believe in, because they believe all millenarians are heretics, but they developed a millenarian prophecy with a pre-tribulation, 7-year pre-tribulation rapture, and an end-time Antichrist. Of course, the part they loved about the end-time Antichrist was that, well, now it couldn't be the Pope, because we can't know who the Antichrist is until the restrainer has been taken out of the way. The Bible says that. Until the restrainer is taken out of the way, you can't know who he is. Well, see, that the truth is all that happened in history already. The force that was restraining even the early church fathers before the prophecy was fulfilled in the 5th-6th century, even before it was fulfilled, they said what the prophecy really meant, and then it was fulfilled, and the Antichrist was revealed. Okay? But that's why the Antichrist needed to change it up and say the Antichrist is not going to show up, because everyone was calling him the Antichrist, and he didn't like it. I don't want to be the Antichrist. I don't want to be the bad guy. So it must be somebody else in the future. Or no, and if you don't buy that, well, it was Nero in the past. The Revelation is really a Jewish prophecy about the destruction of Jerusalem. It's not even a Christian prophecy. Yeah, so you got people selling that preterist thing. All they're really saying when they say the Revelation was really a prophecy of the destruction of Jerusalem, even though we can't make, most of it doesn't make any sense, but yeah, that was really, yeah. So it was not really a Christian prophecy at all. It was a Jewish prophecy. Of course, the Jews already had plenty of prophecies about the destruction of Jerusalem. They didn't need one more. So, anyway, so here we are back to the kill shot. Peer-reviewed study, 94% of vaccinated patients with subsequent health issues have abnormal blood. That means that they got one of the batches that were the kill shot. I've known some people that have got one shot, but they would not take another one because they got, you know, they didn't want to take the one, but they wanted to see their granny. Really, I mean, I actually know people that did that just so they could see their grandma. Yeah. People love their grannies, man. You know, sure, I'll take a vaccine. So, because they believe a lie. But they don't believe that these people are lying to them. Us poor human beings, we're wired to be gullible. The clot shot. Okay, let's see. Let's close out that one and see what else we got. To respond. Oh, yes. Court orders Bill Gates, Indian government, to respond to lawsuit filed by family of woman who died after AstraZeneca vaccine. Yes, it's a good thing Bill Gates has billions of dollars because he can buy his way out of this one. It won't be until we get Nuremberg-type trials that nobody can buy their way out of. That's what I'm praying for. Add that to your prayer list. Nuremberg-type trials that not even Bill Gates can buy his way out of. That's what we want. But let him, let him mount up the evidence against himself by buying himself out of this one, because that'll be the evidence needed for a Nuremberg-type trial. So, damned if you do, and damned if you don't, Bill Gates. That's right. If you buy your way out, you're damned. If you don't buy your way out, you'll get that judgment against you, one way or another. Yes, sir. So there's that news in the Indian government. Okay, speaking of Bill Gates and his and all of his investments in fake meat. Beyond meat. Beyond meat. Can you see it now? It's beyond meat. We're beyond meat, people. We don't need meat anymore. We're beyond it. Look at it. It even looks like beef. It's beyond beef. Plant-based ground. Yeah, as in dirt. You know, that stuff where you plant a seed in the ground and a cow pops out. Nope, that's not the stuff we're talking about. They're talking about plant-based ground. 20 grams of plant protein per serving. No soy. That's nice to know. No gluten. Yes, sir. And story at a glance here. Industrial agriculture is a key driver of environmental destruction and ill health. Ugh. Wait a minute. So if we stop planting food, then we won't have destruction of the environment and ill health? I thought we needed food to be healthy and to live. I mean, who's selling this nightmare? Yeah. This, not even a pipe dream. This is just idiocy. That's what they're selling, but people are believing it. Industrial agriculture uses 75% of available farmland, yet produces just 30% of food consumed globally. What? So we should stop farming? Is that what they're saying? I don't get it. Small biodiverse farms use 25% of land and provide 70% of our diet. Oh, so they're against global ag. Yeah. I don't know. It seems all very conflicting to me. Yes. I'm going to stick with real beef, and I'm even now raising sheep. Just in case I can't afford real beef, I'm going to start slaughtering my own lambs out here for food. Yeah. Or sell them for slaughter. But anyway, and that's what we all need to, you know, plant a garden, raise a few animals, get some meat chickens, get some chickens for eggs. I have like, well, I had like 17 chickens for eggs. That's a lot of eggs, and that can supply your own family and your close family, or you can even sell some eggs just to buy feed to feed your chickens so you can have your eggs for free. And they're better eggs, too. You'll see the yolks. If you give your chickens a little free range, the yolks are darker and just much yummier. And there's always that, you know, that good kind of pride, if there's any good pride, to take pride or satisfaction. Maybe pride's the wrong word, but to take satisfaction in enjoying food that you actually raised and grew on your own land and on the earth around you, so you can take satisfaction. I won't use the word pride, since that's a bad word in Christian circles. We, you know, pride is a sin, so, but we can be satisfied by living the way that God meant for us to live, or living in closer harmony with the land that we're on. So grow a little bit of your own meat, get some chickens, grow some, have some eggs, turn the weeds and all the scraps on your property into eggs, and grow a garden, you know, and that'll help the economy and keep prices down too, and help alleviate the shortages that the communist Marxist destroyers of our economy and food sources are have underway for us right now, because they want us all hungry and starving and poor so that they can govern us. Yes. Totalitarian style. Okay, so there you go. That's your worldview. Ah, who's really profiting from the pandemic industry? Yeah. The debate surrounding the growing pandemic industry. Much attention is focused on the central role of the World Health Organization. But the WHO's handling of response to COVID-19 creates serious doubts about the competency of its leadership and raises questions about whose needs the organization are really serving. And certainly not the people, but yeah, it gets down up to or back to the almighty dollar and the corruption that is endemic in practically every government in the world right now. And that just tells you how much control the Antichrist has in the world right now. Because the more corruption there is, the more in control he is, corrupting everything in his wake. Everywhere he goes, corruption reigns. And that's every opportunity, every time they say there's a crisis or an emergency, it's just another opportunity to rob the people of their labor and their life and even their blood, sweat, their tears, and their very lives, as in with the kill shot and the depopulation effort. It is so fitting that we now have a depopulation king of the world. Yeah, do away with that former defender of the faith, Elizabeth. Her son is now the depopulation king. Self-described many decades ago as being such. That was his dream. His dream is now a reality and the world's nightmare. They couldn't do it through a virus, but they could do it to combat a virus. See how that worked? Yeah. Virus is too dangerous. It might kill them. But it's funny how they targeted the people that believed them most, the most gullible, the most liberal, were the first ones to line up and get the jab, get the kill shot, and the people who got the most are the ones that are going to die first. Unfortunately. Unfortunately. And some people might say, fortunately. Yeah. But once you got it, well, it's all in God's hands now. But as the Jesuits would say, the end justifies the means. They don't care. Yeah. What's right or wrong? It's only the ends that are important. And the end is that they control everything. They reduce the population of the earth. Okay, enough on that now. Let's close that one out. Let's see what else was here. Ah, the monetary system will be reformed and gold will be called upon. As much as I love Ron Paul and Daniel McAdams, and because they're very sincere and very serious. And if our government was full of people just like them, America would be a much better place. But they have a little delusion in that they don't really see. They really believe and hope, perhaps, I hope I'm wrong, that if they could just change it, gold, if we could get gold. But no, what this tells me, and as I was looking at this headline here and perusing the comment, in a world drowning in debt, the monetary system itself is on borrowed time. Well, yes, it is, but that's on by plan. And that's why they're purposely destroying it and everything else they can to tear it down and put an end to it. Because the same people that are tearing it down want to bring it back differently. They want to bring it back with totalitarian control, Marxist government all the way, all under the one world monetary system where they control every digit of money out there, where all paper money and alternative money will be outlawed, and there will be Mark of the Beast inquisitions to enforce it. I believe that's one reason why the IRS is being ramped up now, because it's going to take them 7 years to get it ramped up to where they need it, for the Mark of the Beast inquisitions are coming. And what this article tells me, what I see from this, is that they are once again going to call in all the gold, but not just in the United States like they did in history upon the Antichrist setting up his monetary system in America, the Federal Reserve. Okay. They wanted a redo. Yeah. One that'll get rid of all the factions and make all the world under one monetary system. But they're going to say, when the moment for reform arrives, gold will play a role once again. That in order to give the Mark of the Beast, or the one world monetary system, whatever they call it, and however well they make it, good a job they do of making it palatable to the world to accept it, they're going to say, we need gold to back it. So we need everybody's gold. Come on, everybody hand in their gold. Will they call in silver? I don't think too. Silver's a little too industrial. Yeah, but gold definitely. And so I believe that there is a good chance that they will call in all the gold once again, because what they've done once, what they've tested once, they're likely to use it again, especially if it worked so well. So now it'll work on a worldwide basis as well as it worked on the American continent. Okay, we'll be back after some news. Don't go anywhere.
The book of Revelation says, the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ. This is at the very heart of FirstAmendmentRadio.com. In that spirit, we have created the Prophecy Reality News app for all of your mobile devices, streaming First Amendment Radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Available for your Apple, Android device, and smartphone, absolutely free. Get the Prophecy Reality News app installed today, so you can listen to First Amendment Radio wherever you are. The Prophecy Reality News app. Get it now.
Welcome back. You are listening to Cross the Border. This is a live Prophecy Reality News Edition, and this is our second hour today. When we left, we were talking about the monetary system, the march to the Mark of the Beast that will continue until 2030, when they plan on having us all under one monetary system. So if you wonder how come the intentional tear down of our supply chain, food plants, seemingly intentional destruction of everything that we need to continue living our lives in peace and with prosperity is being destroyed before our very eyes. Why? Well, because they want it done. And I believe that another thing that we will look forward to, a thing that they played in history, they already tested it once. It worked very well in America about 1930 when they had all the Americans to hand in their gold because we had a Great Depression, you know, and things were really bad. And if that would fix the country, if we could get all the gold in one place, then we would have backing for our currency and everything would be sound again, I guess, or whatever they told the people. I don't really know. I think if that were to happen, if I were there then we would be the detractors of that happening, which there were. But as you read in the history books, you don't read about the detractors, do you? But I'm sure they were there, just as they're here today. So somewhere around the end of this decade, before 2030 arrives, they're going to likely call for the confiscation of all gold. Yeah. They will have numismatic gold, which may be protected up to a certain point. They'll tell you at what point your gold is numismatic and what point it is not. Will they confiscate silver? I don't think so, because it's too much of an industrial metal. Yeah, because it's so much of it is used for industry now, even though there's some industrial use of gold. Especially for electronics, but, they will, I believe that they're actually going to call it all in. All of the gold bullion must be aggregated into the hands of the Antichrist cabal that will be behind the one world monetary system that they are planning. Don't think for a minute they're not planning it and that they're not going to fulfill Bible prophecy. They have no choice. It's already been written. I mean, God has already seen the future, and if he's seen it and he's told us about it, then it surely will come to pass. So, we can look for that to happen about sometime before 2030, because that is the 2030 agenda. And yes, the new king of the world, the depopulation king, who is definitely all for the climate emergency, is going to be behind it. And like I said before, I believe that he may be identified and put up for the role of the pseudo-antichrist. Because I was talking about the pseudo-antichrist back when Barack Obama was the president of the United States, and I thought, excellent choice. He could be the pseudo-antichrist. That was before I really dove deep into my prophecy and figured a few things out. Did we figure a few things out, people? I think we did. And I have to give a lot of credit to my audience, one for putting up with me and also for keeping me on my toes and making sure that we get our interpretation directly from God's word for the works that I've been able to produce thereby since then. So I thank you all for your support and your prayers. Even our silent friend who calls in and can't quite open his mouth for some reason to speak. Yes, you would be welcome to speak. Well, for how long? Well, that would be dependent on what you have to say. Okay. Let's see. What else do we got here? Oh yeah, there was another one. Oh, this one here, little good news. Citizens worldwide rise up against globalist insanity. And it seems like insanity until you realize that they're not just doing it by accident or out of stupidity, but everything they're doing is quite intentional, at least at some level. Let's see. Got to go here to see this insanity. Oh, yes, here it is. This is from Daily Fetched, fetching your news. Citizens worldwide rise up against globalist insanity. Media silence. So you won't hear about this on the mainstream media out there. It won't be on Twitter. They probably don't allow this type of news there, and Facebook and other places. Certainly not going to be on ABC, MNS, MSNBC, CNN, or any of those. That's for sure. Citizens across the globe are rapidly rising up against their government's failed leadership and globalist policies, wreaking havoc on the economy, all while the vast amounts of the establishment media remain silent. And the reason they remain silent is because people are objecting. They're saying, look, you're ruining everything. And they're going, they're remaining silent because if they could speak, they would have to say, it is our intention to ruin everything. We are doing this intentionally to serve our purpose because we want you all dead, or at least most of you. You don't need to grow food to feed people. It's now nitrogen is the enemy. And we don't need you breathing out carbon dioxide, exhaling, because that requires you to breathe. So if you're dead, you can't do that. That's why we make these rules. That's why we made the climate emergency and CO2 the danger, is because to get rid of CO2, we need to get rid of you. Really, to get rid of you, getting rid of CO2 was the way that we found that we could do it, because we would get you to believe the CO2 lie, that CO2 is a poison, when it is not. Plants thrive on it. Plants convert CO2 into oxygen. It's a very nice co-relationship between mammals, human beings being part of the mammals, and plant life. One creates one gas, and one takes that gas and creates the other. Wonderful. Not poisonous, not an emergency. Sorry. Nitrogen, I think there's more nitrogen in the atmosphere. That we use nitrogen for plant fertilizer. And so if nitrogen was an emergency, we would all already be dead. If CO2 was poisonous, we would all already be dead. It's a huge lie. So citizens across the globe are eating and buying into the lie. Yes, symbiosis. Thank you for that, Dale. Dale's got all the words. Yes, thank you, Dale. I've got too many words, not enough room to keep them all on the tip of my tongue. So tens of thousands of people openly reject the globalist ethos, which has resulted in soaring living costs and skyrocketing energy prices. Well, not to mention they're taking your hard labor, giving it to the pharmaceutical companies, making them all billionaires and PPP producers. So they're robbing the people. That's why things are going skyrocketing. Not to mention that they're trying to create scarcity in every sector. So they're sabotaging everything at every turn on purpose to create the crisis that is being created on purpose. What for? Well, to reduce the population, because they're true believers and worshipers of the earth. They worship the creation more than the creator. They don't trust into the earth. They don't say, in earth we trust. They say, in earth we don't trust. Therefore, we must kill humankind. We must kill as many people and animals as possible, because we can't have people living and cows farting. So tens of thousands of people openly reject the globalist ethos, which has resulted in soaring living costs and skyrocketing energy prices. And, you know, you see a crowd like this, I believe, where this is in Sweden. This is also Indonesia, but I believe this picture is from, is Prague. Maybe. They don't tell me where the picture is from. Okay. But anyway. But this is not going to change anything, because these people are going to go home and nothing's going to change. and they'll keep doing it. Thank you, Corporate. He says the atmosphere is 78.1% nitrogen, 20.9% O2. That's O2, CO2, and other gases, 1%. Yeah. So there it is. So if those things were poisonous and going to kill us, we would all be dead already. Okay. But we're all doing just fine. It's all a big lie. The entire climate MacGuffin, as David Knight would say, is a lie. That's what he means by MacGuffin. It's just something they use to propagate what they really want. Oh, O2 is oxygen. Oh, CO2? O2. Oh, it's not CO2. Sorry about that. 20% O2. So nitrogen, O2, and other gases. So how much is CO2? Yeah, that's the other one we need. How much of it is CO2? Okay. Oh, so tens of thousands. Okay, the protests are both direct in message and scope. The globalist idiocy must end. So that's the mistake in believing that they're just idiots, because they're not. This is all intentional. And I don't believe it's going to stop until you take a crowd like this and you overrun and, you know, until this happens, until they get trampled and hurt and overrun, they will not listen. As long as you stand outside and protest and then go home the next day, nothing will change. Because they said, why would we change? We're saving the earth, and, you know. So we'll see. We'll just keep watching. I pray that we can back this thing up. In Indonesia, for example, thousands turned out en masse in some of the country's biggest cities early this week, demanding their government reverse its first subsidized fuel price increase in 8 years amid soaring inflation. As Reuters reported, under pressure to control a ballooning energy subsidy budget, President Joko Widodo on Saturday said he had little choice but to cut the subsidy and let fuel prices rise by about 30%, with oil costs 32% higher than a year ago. And it's all mainly done on purpose. I mean, fuel has not become scarce. It's been cut back on purpose, as Joe Biden did. The first thing he did when he got in office was start attacking our oil industry in America, making us dependent on foreign countries when we were energy independent before. The outlet continues. Protests took place in and around the capital, Jakarta, in the cities of Surabaya, Makassar, Kendari, and among a series of demonstrations led by students and labor groups that police say could draw big crowds this week. Thousands of police were deployed, many guarding petrol stations, fearing they could become targets of mounting anger over price increase that unions say will hurt workers and the urban poor the most. It's true. Economic meltdown. And so this is just taking place really around the world. So is it good news? Well, I don't think it's going to move the global elite. They seem to just be moving ahead with their agenda, destroying economies around the world as they go, trying to incite World War III. Those that would be held accountable in Nuremberg-type trials probably like the idea of world wars so people can forget about the crimes they've committed. Because who has time for Nuremberg trials if you're just fighting for your life and your very existence now? And how is this World War III going to play out? We've been hearing a lot about World War III. How would it play out? let's say the Antichrist is alive and well in the world, behind the scenes with his shadow government, trying to pull and push the world and shape it into what he wants it to be. And that's what we see going on right now. It's very fitting, is it not? The Bible was right all along. Imagine that. Yeah. Even people who say they believe in the Bible, they don't believe the Antichrist is real yet. And they're still waiting for the Antichrist to come because they believe the futurists lie, even while some of them deny the rapture. They've become post-tribulation rapturists. Well, we'll see how that plays out for them. But think about it. Think about what's going on in the world. We got Ukraine, the president of Ukraine, demanding more billions of dollars from the West. We had some fake news come out saying that they're winning now in Russia and we need to send them more billions of dollars so they can finally conquer Russia and push them totally out of Ukraine. And I don't believe it for a minute. But they did have a little, footage at 11, right? And the footage was some soldier doing a selfie video of himself saying that they had pushed the Russians back. That was the evidence. That's all the evidence I've seen so far that they've done anything like what they've been telling us that happened over the weekend as far as them finally winning. But when we need to send them more billions of dollars and hundreds of billions of dollars in cash and weapons so that they can do more of the same, really do more of the same corruption and spreading around of those corrupt dollars and selling those weapons on the market to make all of their friends rich while the Antichrist and his shadow government use that very tactic to corrupt the world and to push their agenda forward through corruption. So what happens? So Russia allies with China, and they take on NATO, right? Well, that won't even be good for Russia, because if Russia and China actually beat Western Europe, which may be likely, then China will beat Russia. Yeah. And why does the Antichrist want China and Russia together against Western Europe? Well, and why is Western Europe against Russia? Well, it makes sense if Russia is rejecting the Antichrist and going back to their, what the Antichrist considers to be apostate, heretic, the Russian Orthodox Church. The Antichrist is not too happy with that. So he's not happy with Russia, but if he can get Russia to ally with China, they help him in his destruction of Western Europe and America finally, which is the liberties of Western Europe and the prosperity of Western Europe and America of the West has been a thorn in their side because of the liberty, the attending liberty that comes with it. So he wants all that destroyed, and he wants Russia destroyed too. So China will finally turn on Russia because it's kind of like, the fox giving a ride across the river to the scorpion, That's Russia being the fox and China being the scorpion. The scorpion's going to sting the fox anyway. Yeah. And that's what will happen. So I can see how all of this that is going on fits nice and neatly into the Antichrist's agenda for taking over the entire planet, because he already has China, totalitarian control of China. If you think it's Xi Jinping or whatever his name is over there, Xi, if you think it's him, you're quite deluded, as they expect you to be. Because behind the scenes, you better believe that shadow government that works for the Antichrist is fully entrenched and fully or near fully in control. Yes, thank you for that, Corporate. Says someone said to achieve global government, a global problem and a global solution must be presented. So now it's becoming a global problem. That's why this agitation worldwide, just, you know, it's like those croaking frogs. The agitation of their croaking is so loud. It's like you're sitting, you know, in the midst of a great crowd of people, and all of them are talking at the same time. And it gets, yeah, peace and quiet is a beautiful thing. But that we have it, it's going on. And I'm afraid that those three frog-like spirits are doing their job very well. And they're doing exactly what God is allowing them to do in the world. There's only one hope. And so we'll save the best news for last, coming back from the break. The very best news for last. Okay, let's see, what else do we have here? I think I've gone through all these articles. Depopulation King, Bill Gates. Yeah, did that. Europe commits suicide by sanctions. That's just part of it. The Europeans aren't doing it. It's those that are in control of those governments, that shadow government that is suiciding the nations of Western Europe. Okay, we're going to take a break. We'll be back in a few minutes. Go not anywhere. Hi, I'm Nicholas Arthur, and I'd like to introduce you to my latest book, Reformed Prophecy Interpretation, an apology for Reformed premillennial historicism in the 21st century. As with primitive biblical Christianity, historicism is the method of prophecy interpretation restored with the advent of the Protestant Reformation, and had become so widely held that for a long time it was called the Protestant view. My book is not so much about the errors of dispensationalism or amillennialism. Rather, it is about the historicist alternative to understanding many of the same passages from the vantage point of prophecy fulfilled in history. For those that desire more than mere hypotheses bolstered with conjectured speculation, those who require explicit biblical exegesis and verified historical fulfillment, and are not willing to accept speculation as anything other than what it is. Speculation, not truth. This book is for you. Over the last century, this method of interpretation has become almost completely forgotten, even by Protestants, in the face of a method that is based almost entirely on future speculation, rather than fulfilled prophecy in history. In my book, I examine the reasons for this and investigate some of the prophecy which has been fulfilled in the interim, as well as present an apology for Reformed premillennial historicism to the 21st century. If you're interested in a copy of my book, you can go to my website, crosstheborder.org, and get more information there. Or you may also find it at Amazon. Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. This is a live prophecy reality news edition. And we do have good news. The good news is, of course, God's Word. That's the good news. The best news I ever heard in my life was when I read God's Word for the first time. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me through God's Word. Yeah. It was a beautiful thing. It changed my life. I was 19 years old, so that would be 50 years ago. Yes, about 50 years ago. Yes, is that right? Yeah, that would be right. About 50 years ago, add 19 to that, and you have a good idea unless you're public schooled and you didn't learn math. Anyway, Luke chapter 24 and verse 1 says, "Now upon the first day of the week," if you're wondering when that was, the first day of the week followed the seventh day of the week, because they numbered their days, and that's what God gave them, numbered days. Of course, in Babylon, they got Babylonian names for the day, and then later on, we got Roman names for the days of the week, but they were given days according to the moon, and it was the first day of the week, very early in the morning. They came to the sepulchre. Sepulchre, for those of you that don't know, that's a grave site. It's where someone's buried. In this case, it was like a dugout cave in a rock. Okay. And they were bringing spices, which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. Yeah, they were coming to do as their custom, and they brought the spices and whatever things they had prepared for the body of Christ as he was laying in the grave. And it came to pass, because they found not the body of the Lord Jesus, it came to pass as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by in shining garments. Yes, they were much perplexed thereabout. Everybody talks like that today, don't they? They were much perplexed thereabout. Yeah. They were in confused, like, what's going on here? They had no idea what was going on. Where's his body? How come it's not in the sepulcher where it belongs? And then two guys, it says, in shining garments. That means their garments shone like light. Light shone from these men that stood by them. And they were afraid and bowed their faces down to the earth. So they pretty much, I guess I would say, they fell on their faces. And they said to them, so these two shining guys, these two angels, of course, these messengers from God speak to them and said, "Why seek ye the living among the dead?" And that's the good news. Why seek ye the living among the dead? They thought Christ was dead. They thought Jesus was dead. They watched him die on the cross. But on the first day of the week, after the Sabbath, because they were Sabbath keepers, they were Jews, they were Hebrews, they were Sabbath keepers. So on the first day of the week, after the Sabbath, they came to the sepulcher with the spices that they had prepared. Now these two angels said, "Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again." Guess what day it was? It was the third day. He was risen. And they remembered his words. They forgot him up to then. Didn't make any sense. Sometimes you hear things you don't really hear. It goes in one ear and out the other, as they say. And they remembered his words and returned from the sepulcher and told all these things unto the 11. Of course, those are 11 apostles, minus Judas. Of course, he would have been made 12 if he was there. So we know who was present when they returned to the sepulcher, and these 11 guys were hanging out together, and to all the rest. And it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. So all the women went to the grave to take care of business and to minister to the dead as was their custom. Okay? And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Yeah, well, they didn't remember. I mean, see, these women at the grave, when the angels repeated the words exactly as Jesus told them, the Son of Man must be delivered, they remembered. Oh, it's like their memory was restored, and they remembered the words. And it's like they're going, oh, yeah, he said that. He's not here. He must be risen. So they go back, and they tell them. And it seems like idle tales to them, just as it was to these women when they were confused and going, what's going on? Where'd his body go? He's not here. But that's the good news. Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not dead. He is risen. Then arose Peter. Oh, we all know Peter. Then arose Peter and ran to the sepulcher. Peter's running, man, and stooping down. And he looked inside, and he saw the linen clothes laid by themselves and departed. So all that was left there was what they had buried Jesus in, the linen wrappings that they wrapped his body in. And so he departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. So these things are swirling around in his mind that the women said. He had to run to the grave, all the way to the grave. And and behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said to them, what manner of commotions are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered and said to him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said to them, what things? And they said to him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death, and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things, and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh into the village, whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward the evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, and blessed it, and brake, and gave to them. And their eyes were open, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. Wow! What it would have felt like to be there. I mean, I can almost feel it in my spirit. Just what it would be like to be there. and to have heard the things they heard, seen the things they seen, and to finally their eyes are open, and they knew him, and he simply vanishes out of their sight. He's gone. Wow. And they said one to another, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way? We didn't recognize him as he was talking. He opened the scriptures to us, and still we did not see him. You know why they didn't see him? Because he kept their eyes from seeing him. They saw him as a stranger. Imagine that. Who's in charge here? Yes, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is in charge, even of our eyes, what we see and what we do not see. And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them in the breaking of bread. And as they thus spoke, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them. There he appeared, just like he vanished, he appeared right there, and says to them, peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. Oh, I have to remember that notion there of seeing a spirit. And he said to them, why are ye troubled, and why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said to them, have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and a honeycomb. And he took it, and he did eat before them. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then he opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as to Bethany. And he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. Amen. The final chapter of Luke there. Yes. And that's the good news, that Christ is risen from the dead, and that we, by accepting his propitiation for our sins, because we all have sinned, we've all done wrong, and the wages of sin is death. But God did not come into the world to condemn the world. That's what Jesus said. You can read that about Matthew or John 3:16 and thereabouts, that God didn't come into the world to condemn the world. Why? He came into the world to save the world. The world was already condemned before he came. We were all condemned in Adam. We all received the death penalty, the death sentence that Adam received. You shall surely die. But the good news is, yes, our mortal flesh will die, but by the power of the blood of Jesus, we can rise from the dead. If God has written your name in the Lamb's Book of Life from the foundation of the world, then you are part of His elect. All that remains is for you to make sure your salvation. And the best way to do that is to read God's Word. Read the Gospels. Read all of the epistles. Understand them. And know that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that you are part of the elect, that He foreordained, predestined from the foundation of the world. There's nothing more important in this life than the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the only thing that pertains to life and life everlasting. Otherwise, you are without hope, because your end is death in the flesh. But the news for those that don't hope in Christ, that don't take advantage of His propitiation, His blood covering their sins, the bad news is it's much worse than just dying. That there is a eternal punishment for sin. And why would anyone choose that? It's beyond me. I don't know. But they choose not to participate, or they choose not to make a choice at all. They don't make sure their salvation. They don't read God's Word and search it to find out whether those things are true or not. And they comfort themselves with lies and delusions so that they can go on and continue in their pride, their sin, their pleasure, their love of the creation more than the Creator. Till finally, they will awaken at the very end of time, at the great white throne judgment, and it will be too late. There are no second chances at that point. You have second chances every day, because our God, as we all know, as all of the elect know, as all those who trust in Him know, He is the God of second chances. We don't know why He chose us, and He didn't choose others. Those are questions beyond my comprehension. I'm just glad that He chose me, and I hope and I pray for more people, many people that will not even take advantage in their lifetime. But I pray for them all anyway, that they could know eternal life, that they could live for eternal, that they could live for eternity in with all the promises, all of the things that God has promised to those that will follow Him. There's a wonderful eternity beyond the grave. And what is the alternative? So many people I see are looking for their best life now. They got television programs about people building wonderful, beautiful houses and estates. And yes, they all look fine and glitzy and glammy on the TV. But you know what? I have had newer automobiles and brand new house and things and properties, and they're all just full of labor, and they all wear out, and all of the shine goes away, and the cobwebs and the dust and the labor to maintain it, and the taxes you have to pay to the governments of men to keep them, just goes on and on and on, and it's so wearisome. There is no paradise in this life. There is no I've got it now thing. Oh, you may be rich and you may have billions of dollars and be able to keep and pay people to keep things shiny and new and without cobwebs and everything to your perfect whim and the perfect sight that you want to see as if it's heaven on earth. But it's all a delusion. It's all a lie. because it's all rotting and falling apart and corrupting before your very eyes, along with your very life, because you have to look into the mirror and you'll see that you're getting old. And there comes a point where it does not get better, but it's a difficult challenge just to keep it alive and moving and working. And that's about the age where I'm at right now. Had some poor guy on the news this morning. If you listen to the news in Canada, saying he wants to end his life because the government took his socialism away and now he can't afford his drugs that make him feel good. So he wants to now commit suicide and die. I'm ready to die. How sad. How sad that he thinks it's just going to end like that. If he was trusting in Christ, he would not be whining and crying. He would embrace the suffering and allow it to conform him to the image of the only begotten Son. And some people go, Nicholas, you may think you've never suffered. You just don't know. Well, I do know. I've suffered. I had chronic pain for years. God took it away from me. And I learned to live with it. And you know, it was an occasion for prayer all the time. So don't look to the government to soothe your pain with medication or commit suicide because you can't get drugs from your God, the government. No, embrace it. Call on the Lord. That's what I did. Unexpectedly, I never expected, you know, God to heal me of the pain. Yeah. I had chronic pain in my leg and my knee. I think I had some pinched nerves from an injury. I had been tempted to get knee surgery, but I had friends who had knee replacement surgery, and I did not want to go through that. I thought I'd rather live with the pain than just have temporary relief and then more pain and more surgeries continually and likely shorten my life. But the good news is that Christ's blood can pay for your sins. Read his word and find out how, and walk in his kingdom.